Genesis chapter 37. In fact, that's our text. And today we spend some time in the story and the life of Joseph. Now, how many of you like roller coasters? Let me see your hands. See if you're with me. Roller coaster fans? Good. So you like the highs and the lows, do you? You like the speeding through the turns and that sense of inertia and the G's that you feel on your face as you make those fast turns and then click, 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 and over the top you go, screaming all the way. Let me see this. How many of you raise your hands and let go while you go down those big hills? Daredevils, daredevils. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you want your life to be like a roller coaster? Yeah, well, here's the problem. To some level or degree, life is filled with ups and downs, sharp turns and sudden stops. If you're one of those people, perhaps you've already discovered that because of God's faithfulness, you can survive the ride. God is faithful. I want to share with you today, in case you are in one of those low, fast turns, or maybe just about to go over the top and hit an all-time low, some steps to surviving the ride. From the life of Joseph, and we begin reading in Genesis chapter 37, verse 2. The generations of Jacob. Now, Joseph, being 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. What do we call those? Tattletales. Now, Israel, Jacob, loved Joseph more than any other of his sons because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. Now, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. Verse 17, let's advance the story. So Joseph now goes after his brothers who are despising him for not one but two dreams where not only they but even his parents will bow down and serve him. They're off in the field. Now Joseph goes after them, finds them in Dothan, verse 18. And they saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. And you thought you had sibling rivalry issues. They said to one another, here comes this dreamer. Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of the pits. And we'll say that a fierce animal devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams. Look at verse 26. Then Judah said to his brothers, what profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he's our brother, our own flesh. And his brothers listened to him. And Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. They took Joseph to Egypt. Verse 36, after Jacob tears his garments and covers himself in ash, mourns the loss of his son who he assumes has been devoured by a wild animal, we read verse 36, the Midianites sold him in Egypt, Joseph that is, to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard. This morning, I want to give you five tips to survive the ride when the ride is customarily ups and downs, sharp turns and sudden stops. Here's number one. You may not like this, but I'm going to shoot straight with you. Accept it for what it is. And what it is life. Up, down, and around. Sometimes fast, sometimes slow, and sometimes suddenly stopping. That's life. And imagine for a minute what a shock it must have been to Joseph's young system, to his paradigm, to the way he saw life. 17 years as the privileged son of his father, a multicolored coat to distinguish him from his brothers as the special one, the apple of his father's eye, the pride of his life, that was Joseph. Until his brothers turn on him and turn his world upside down. What a shock that must have been. You mean all of life isn't going to be like the first 17 years? All of my days won't be days of privilege and pleasure. No, Joseph, they won't. Because life is full of ups and downs, and you and I just have to accept it for what it is. It's a part of life. And I can't really tell. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us what Joseph was thinking in that pit. I don't know how much time he spent feeling sorry for himself. Sometimes we do that when we're down. I don't know how much time he spent blaming others, his brothers, who certainly deserve some blame. I don't know how much time he spent blaming God. How could a sovereign God allow something like this to happen to me? Or maybe he just considered the human condition and the fall of humanity and realized that sometimes bad things do happen. I don't know what he thought there in the pit, but I know this. Joseph is both at the root of his problems. He's not totally innocent. No, and he is also a victim of his circumstances. He's not directly responsible for everything that happens to him. And that's kind of how the thing works, you know, life. Sometimes things happen to us that we had a lot to do with. And sometimes things happen to us that we had nothing to do with except to be born a human in a fallen world. I don't know how it happens. However it happens to us all. And isn't that what Jesus said in John 16, verse 33? In this world, you will have trouble. Trouble. Because it's a fallen world. It's a fallen system. There are fallen people, and people fall. And sometimes we fall pretty low. And I know what you're thinking, because I'd probably be thinking the same thing. I came to church this morning to be encouraged. Preacher, this is a downer. Look, I told you when I started this message, I want to tell you the truth. I want to be real with you. I know you value authenticity, so I'm just telling you how it is. It's life. Deal with it. Get over it. You and I are not as special as we think we are. Whether we're in the palace and things are going great, or when we're in the pit and things are going horribly wrong, it's not usually just us, it's all of us. Let me quote from the great philosopher and country music songwriter, Lynn Anderson, who reflectively said, "I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden, along with the sunshine. There's got to be a little rain sometime." Now, I'll skip the whoa, whoa, whoas. But I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden. That's just life in a fallen world. But I want you to get this at the outset of this message. It's not what happens to you, but what you do next that sets you apart. Because things happen to all of us, but not all of us thrive in spite of the ride. Joseph did. Accept it for what it is. It's a part of life. Number two, write this down. And by the way, there are five of these, so don't give up on me after three. I know you're in the custom of thinking three, we're done, but we've got five today. So stay with me. Number two, look for God all the time, at all times, no matter where you are, high or low, look for God, because I make you this promise, because he's made us this promise. God is there. Let's go forward in the story to Genesis chapter 39 and read verse 2. Here it is. I hear those pages turning. Way to go. We don't believe Scott. We got those pages to turn. Notice verse 2 of chapter 39. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. This is in Potiphar's house. This is having been thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, and dragged off to a foreign country. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in the sight and attended him. And he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all. This is the old pit boy, now in charge of all Potiphar's house. Privilege has returned, it would seem, at least to some degree. But one thing we know, God is there. I can imagine, maybe we could use our sanctified imagination, that Joseph felt alone in that pit, rejected and abandoned by his own family, his brothers, dragged off to a foreign country. No question, he had to have felt some sense of loneliness and alone. That would have been natural. Those feelings would have been understandable, but they would have been unreliable. By the way, you got to remember, whether you're up or down, your feelings will deceive you. And when you're down and you feel alone, your feelings are understandable. They're just not reliable, because God's presence is not dependent upon the rising or the falling of our lives. God's presence is not nearer when we're up and further when we're down. Sometimes God is even nearer in the pit. Or perhaps it's just our awareness of his nearness in the pit. The Lord was with Joseph in the pit, at his lowest point, and even in Potiphar's service. So remember, God doesn't come and go with the rising and the falling of your circumstances. And it may be cliche by now, but it's still good to say and to be reminded of, that God did not promise we would never go through these difficult times, but he did promise we wouldn't go through them alone. Hebrews 13:5, remember? He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." That is his promise. Number one, accept it for what it is. It's a part of life. And look for God in the midst of it. He is there. Number three, stay true to God and to yourself. It's in the story. Look at chapter 39, verse 6. Now, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, a good-looking guy. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he's put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you're his wife." Now notice this. "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her, or to be with her. Stay true to God and to yourself. God didn't forsake Joseph, and Joseph didn't forsake God. And think about it for a minute. If we could put ourselves in his position, this had to be a tough scenario. This was a difficult situation, because he's a servant, and she's the master's wife. And I got to tell you, just my holy suspicion here is she might have been attractive to a young, good-looking guy. And besides, it's a private moment. There's no one else in the house. Who's going to know? It's in her best interest to keep it a secret, as it would be mine, so who would ever find out? And God? Well, if I think about it, isn't God the reason I'm in this position in the first place? What loyalty do I have to a God who let me be thrown into a pit, dragged off into slavery in a foreign country? I'm speculating. I don't know if any of that went through his mind, but I know if it had been you or me, maybe those have been some of the kinds of thoughts we would have to fight off. But Joseph doesn't forget who he is or who God is. Remember that character is who and what you are, regardless of your circumstances. Character is that enduring quality that is consistent through the ups and the downs. Character is who you are when nobody's watching, when there's absolutely zero chance of getting caught, even when you feel entitled to it and God's to blame for it. Character and your commitment to God is what enables you to say no, regardless of the circumstances. Good days and bad days, it's your character that sustains you. It's the metal within you that doesn't bend or melt when the heat's turned up. In fact, just the opposite. Your character is revealed and purified and strengthened in the fire. You and I both know people, I'm sure, who lost their religion in the pit, who became a different person out of the palace. But commitment to God and character is something that will be the consistency through all of the changes of life, ups and downs. Stay true to God and to yourself. It doesn't matter where you are, how high or how low you are, how good or how bad you've got it. Your commitment to God and your Christian character will sustain you and keep you stable and steady through the worst of situations. Stay true to who you are and to God. Number four, trust in God. He's always faithful. I find that in chapter 39, verse 20. Chapter 39, verse 20. Here it is. As soon as I find it, there it is. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison. Oh, here we go. Down again. Just when we started to get up, knocked back down again. Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. But, look at verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love. I love that word. It's translated in various ways in various translations, but the ESV uses steadfast love, and that's a great way to see that word. Steadfast. It means it stands long and stays true. Steadfast love. Not the kind of love that comes and goes with our circumstances, right? God showed him steadfast love and gave him favor again in the sight of the keeper of the prison. In spite of the fact that Joseph's life was a series of ups and downs, there was an upside to every down. If we notice, we see it here. Let's review. God is there in the pit when Joseph is thrown down. And yes, he's in a pit, and that's pitiful. But he wasn't killed by his brothers, and he wasn't devoured by wild animals. Instead, he got an all-expense-paid trip to the tourism capital of the world, Egypt. No, he's not there on a tourist visa or to see the sights. He's a slave. That's low. That's bad. And he's falsely accused, and that's unfair. But the accusation is false. Character and integrity intact, and commitment to God undiminished. He's thrown into prison, but at least he's not killed by a jealous husband. And there he is in prison, and that's low, except that God shows him steadfast love and favors him, and he starts his way back up, and that's better. What do we see through all of these ups and downs and turns and twists? God seems to take everything thrown at Joseph and turns it around and brings good from it. Do you wonder, again, just speculation, but do you wonder if the devil and his crowd ever got together and had a little meeting and asked the question, what do we got to do to destroy this Joseph guy? We've tried the pit. We've tried slavery. We've tried prison. Everything we throw at this guy, he seems to thrive. Can I tell you why? Romans 8:28 will answer the question. All things work together for good. To those who love God and are called according to his purpose. How many things? All things. Pits? God specializes in pits. Prison? God works inside prison walls. Ask Paul and Silas in chains at midnight. God is faithful, y'all. His love is steadfast, it is enduring. He continues in his persistent and passionate pursuit of us, in spite of us, and in spite of the circumstances around us. Through it all, God is faithful, showing us steadfast love. Can I just let you in on a little secret of life that I'm learning and I'm so grateful for? God doesn't think any less of you when you're down. And God doesn't think any more of you when you're up. Maybe you've heard it said this way, God wouldn't love you any less couldn't love you anymore. Do you know why that is? Because God's love is steadfast. Steadfast. Stands long and stays true. Doesn't waver with the circumstances of life. While we may go up and down and up and down, there's this steady, consistent flow of God's faithfulness that no matter where you are, when, with whom, or how bad it gets, this much you know, God is faithful. And no matter what the world, or the devil, or yourself throws at you, God will catch it and turn it around and bring good from it. God is faithful. You can trust Him. His love is steadfast. And one more, number five. You've been writing these down. Number five, find out what God is doing and get in on it. Because God is always doing something. I heard a preacher preach on this story one time, and I heard him say something like this: when you're down to nothing, God is up to something. Don't you like that? And can't you prove that through all the scriptures, through one character after another? When you're down to nothing, God is up to something. So when you're down to nothing, look for the something that God is doing. Because we have the benefit now of hindsight, right? We know how the story ends, so we can look back through time and through the scriptures, and we can learn some lessons that perhaps Joseph learned the hard way. Here's what we know. We know from the moment Joseph hit the pit, the low point of his life, God was preparing him for the palace. Do you see it? On a long, dusty, dry, feeling forsaken journey to Egypt, having no idea what would happen to him when he got there, God was working to prepare him for the palace. In Potiphar's service of administration and supervision and oversight, God was preparing him for the palace. And in prison, where he interprets the dreams of two from Pharaoh's court, God was working, preparing Joseph for the palace. Do you see? So wherever you are, remember this, God is working. Jesus said it this way: the Father is always working, and I am working. Do you know what that means, loosely translated? When you're down to nothing, God is up to something. Look for what God is doing. Because I can tell you this, that you're not there wherever there is for you, be it high or low, except by God's sovereign design. He may not have done that to you, but He may have allowed that to be done to you. But you can trust this because of His steadfast love for you. Whatever comes to you is Father filtered. It's come through His hand. And He's already working to turn it around and to bring good from it and glory to His name. So you know that no matter what it is, God has a plan and purpose for you being there. I'll tell you a good thing to do when you're in the pit. Look around and see what God's up to. I'm telling you, a lot of people look within and feel sad and sorry for themselves. A lot of people look around and try to find somebody to blame. I tell you, if you're in that pit, you ought to look around and see where God is and what God is up to and go to work. Because God may be preparing you in that pit for a palace He needs you to serve in. Now, we're going to leave that right there for next week because there's a lot of meat left on that bone, and we will chew it up next week for sure. Can I wrap it up with this? You may be in a pit right now. You may be coming out of a pit, or you may be going into a pit. I don't know, but look, don't be shocked. If you're human, you're not to heaven yet, so we got to deal with a little trouble on this earth. And since you're there, while you're there, look for God. You'll find Him. He's right there. Stay true to Him. Let your character define you regardless of the circumstances around you. Stay true to God and to yourself. And trust Him because He's faithful. And He'll turn whatever it is around and use it. And you'll be the blessed because of it. And finally, get in on what God's up to. Because you see, old Joseph, he's not just a random Bible character. He is in the flow of God's redemptive activity. God is preparing him in the pit to feed many people and to save many lives, probably his own, certainly his family's. Israel's as a nation. Think about this. God is going to strategically place Joseph in Pharaoh's court as the second in command, number two guy, top of the heap. He's administrating and running and supervising all of Egypt, which creates a nice little bubble for a small little band, not much more than a family, called Israel, to come for 350 or so years and thrive and multiply and become a nation. Do you see what God is doing? Oh, and by the way, it's not just Israel, because you see, we received our Messiah and therefore our salvation through Jesus Christ. And Joseph, well, he had something to do with that. In spite of the ups and the downs and the lefts and the rights, the sudden stops, God was faithful to use Joseph, and we today receive our salvation, the fruit of God's redemptive activity throughout all of history and humanity, and Joseph played his part. Does that help you a little bit in your pit? Preacher, I'm not in a pit. Be patient. There is a pit in your future. Just take these little tips, tuck them away. Because when you hit the pits, I don't want you just to survive the ride. I want you to thrive.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things He created instead of Him. We have chosen to reject His authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things He created instead of Him, which is ultimately pointless given that He is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against Him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access Him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before He forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and He took upon our punishment on Himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in Him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without Him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.